chapter 1. We're going to take a look at verses 22 through 25 this morning. And I want to pray before we get in, because I'm going to read the word after a brief introduction, but let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being at work in our lives, for being a good and gracious God who is reigning and ruling over all things, including this morning, including our time together right now. Lord, we know that you're at work for our good. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to all gather together outside. We thank you for holding back the rain, for allowing this great weather for us to gather like this. So we do not take this for granted. So we thank you for that. And we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and you would help us. Help us to experience you through your word. Help us to grow in our conviction in regards to listening to your word, hearing your word, and being doers of your word. Lord, we ask that you would help us to build a life in your word, that our lives would be governed by your word. And so, God, please accomplish your good purposes in us this morning through your word and by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I want to share a story with you that I kind of made up. So I kind of like to make up stories once in a while, but I think it's one that you can relate to, at least if you're a parent, and if you've ever been a child, you might be able to relate to this. And so let's just say mom and dad are getting ready to go out on a date. And before they leave, they need to give their four children some instruction. And so just so you know, this may or may not be true, and it is made up, and parts of it may or may not be true to my family and or your family. And so you'll see what I mean by this. And so mom and dad are going out on this date, and they have their four kids that they're leaving at home. And just so you know, there's one son and there's four daughters, okay? Son, four daughters. Those details really don't matter, but for the sake of the story and some people who like details, just so you know what kind of family this is, okay? So anyways, they're going out for this date, and there's some things that the kids need to do. But mom and dad are really excited to get out because they haven't been out in a long time. And so what they did is they wrote their kids this letter just to let them know what they expect of them as they go out on this date. And so as they're seeking to get out the door and they're hurrying to get ready, they gather their kids together and they hand them this note and they say, everything you need to know while we're gone is going to be found in this note, this letter that we've written to you. It contains just a number of instructions that we'd like for you to look at and actually do while we're gone. And so this note contained things like this. They clearly asked them to finish their homework, put everything in their bags, and place their school supplies at the door so that in the morning they would be ready to just walk out the door, not having to run and find a laptop or having to run to find something that they needed for school. They asked them to clean up the kitchen, unload and load the dishwasher, wipe down everything, and sweep the floors. They asked them to put their clothes away. And they said that they could play games for 1 hour before they go to bed. And so being kind of generous allowed a little bit of fun before they had to go to bed. And then they also asked them to be in bed by 10 o'clock. And so that was what was in the note, as well as a few expressions of love. Like, and by the way, we love you so much and can't wait to see you in the morning. Because they expected them to be in bed when they got home from their date. So mom and dad leave and they go out and they have this wonderful time together, just catching up, communicating, and planning out their future together, really excited about their life. And so at the end of the day, they drive into the driveway and what they see is a house with every light on. I don't know if there's a parent in here who's ever experienced that, where you leave and you come home at night and every light on is every light in the house is on. Well, that's what they experienced. They saw every light on, and so they get out of the car, and they walk in the door, and they hear something. They hear the TV blaring loudly. A little interesting, because they weren't expecting the TV to be on, because when they got home, this was 10:30. If you remember, they asked the kids to be in bed by 10, but it's 10:30. Every light in the house is on. The kids are watching television. The television is loud, and so they don't say anything right away, but they walk into the kitchen, And to their surprise, it looked like dinner had just been finished. The dishwasher was still full of clean dishes. The dinner was all over the table, the pots, everything was out. Nothing had been really picked up. And on top of that, on top of the counter was some cereal boxes. And the milk, if you can believe that. As if the kids left out their little snack before bed. But again, what they found out was the kids didn't actually go to bed, because when they looked into the living room, the TV was on and the kids were sitting all around it playing video games. Now, these were godly parents. Okay, godly parents. And so as they looked at this situation, they honestly asked their kids, what are you doing and why didn't you read the note we gave you? To which the kids all responded by saying this, we did read your note a couple of times and even out loud. We even sat around in this little circle in the living room and we studied it together. Little Johnny even memorized the third thing you asked him to do. Just ask him. He can tell you exactly what it says. It was a very nice note, Mom and Dad. We thank you for giving it to us, including those encouraging parts where you said that you loved us so much and you couldn't wait to see us again. Now, again, remember, these were godly parents. So they were a bit surprised, though, by their kids' response. And so they calmly and graciously responded by saying, thank you for reading the note and paying close attention to it. But why didn't you do what we asked you to do in the note? And the kids were shocked by this. And the oldest brother spoke up and said, Do what? We didn't do anything that you asked us to do in the note. And then I don't know what the parents did after that. I'll let you figure out what you would do after that moment. But can you imagine being those parents in that situation? I'm sure none of you parents have ever encountered something like that. But what would you do in that situation? I mean, who in their right mind would spend time reading, rereading, and memorizing their parents' note and not actually do any of the things that they were asked to do? Now, it's kind of a silly story, but that story really kind of gets to the heart of what James is trying to teach us here in these verses that I'm going to read here in just a moment, because what James is going to instruct us as he continues to teach us about what it means to have a life in God's Word and how important God's Word is to our lives is that we are not only to be listeners of the Word, people who pick up the Bible and read it, but we're also called to be doers of the Word. We're called to listen to it, we're called to read it, we're called to study it, we're called to meditate on it, and we're actually called to live it out. We're called to take these truths that God gives to us and by His grace, empowered by His Spirit, do the things that He calls for us to do. And so listen to what James has to say. You can stand if you would like and if you can for the reading of God's Word. So James chapter 1, verse 22. He writes the following, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. He will be blessed in his doing. You may be seated. So in this section, James is addressing a very important aspect of the Christian life. He's addressing just how important God's Word is to our lives if we are going to be faithful and fruitful men, women, and children who've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and live out our lives in such a way that we honor and glorify God. What he's teaching us here is God's Word is very important to our lives. We must be listening to it. We must be hearing what God has to say, and we must be doers of His Word. If I could summarize it in a sentence, I'd say it like this. If we are going to benefit from God's word and be faithful and fruitful Christians, we must be doers of God's word. We must be doers of God's word. We can't simply hear it and not do it. We must hear it and apply it to our lives. Now, as we explore this truth, we're going to take a look at 3 points this morning from this text. The first point is this: we must not deceive ourselves by thinking that since we have heard God's word, that we are actually benefiting from God's word fully. So we must not deceive ourselves into thinking because we have simply heard it or we've interacted with it and we have knowledge of it that we are fully benefiting from God's word. So James is concerned for his friends that they do not fall prey to deception. Again, look with me at verse 22. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You see, James doesn't pull any punches. Again, he's bold in his writing. He just kind of quickly gets to the heart of the matter, and that's what we see him doing here, because he's not going to sit by and silently watch the men and women and the families of the people that he loves so much just sort of wander away from the truth because they find themselves being deceived. Having just instructed them regarding their need to hear the word, he now takes it a step further, communicating that it's not enough just to hear it. Hearing is a good first step. Hearing is an important thing to do. And so he said, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Be quick to listen to what God has to say you, but don't just stop at your listening. His point here is quite clear. Those who truly hear and accept God's word will be doers of the word. Those who truly hear God's word and accept his word will be doers of the word. See, knowledge of God's word is not enough. It's not enough. It must be lived out. And I'm not trying to minimize the importance of studying God's word, because that's not what James is doing. James is saying it's both. So don't forget what we said last week, and don't forget the verses that came before this, because we got to be good listeners. But good listeners, James is saying, are doers. Good listeners pay attention and apply it to their lives, because God is not just interested in creating and assembling kind of the most intelligent men and women and children on the face of the planet so that they can sit around and answer all of the Bible questions and win Bible trivia on family night. He didn't reveal himself to his people through the Bible so that we could just kind of sit together in this little room or outside together and just talk about the Bible. He's given us his word so that we can talk about the Bible, grow in our knowledge of the Bible, and then live it out. Live it out in our homes, in relationship to one another. Live it out in the context of our community together, and live it out in the context of the community at large, as he calls us to go and be a part of this mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And so his word is meant to inform our minds and then function in our lives as we seek to live our lives. Because knowledge left to itself, we learn in Scripture, it puffs up. It puffs up. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says this in 1 Corinthians 1, 8:1. Says, "Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." Love builds up, knowledge puffs up. So knowledge is not the end of the matter. It's the means God uses in our lives to accomplish his good purposes. Knowledge of God, the gospel, and his ways is meant to inform and motivate how we live out our lives. So God's word really should produce a change in behavior and not just a change in our mindset. Let me say this another way. God's word should produce a change in our mindset as well as a change in our behavior. It should be functioning in the way in which husbands love their wives, in the ways in which wives seek to love, honor, and respect their husbands. It should be functioning in the way children relate to one another. It should be functioning in the way that we relate with one another. It should be functioning in the way that we do our jobs. It should be functioning in the way that we enter restaurants and interact with waitresses and waiters. It should be just functioning in every area of our lives. So God's word, what it does is it changes our minds, and it changes the way in which we live our lives. And it does this because God's word is not like any other word. These are God's very words. In Hebrews, we learn that for the word of God, it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And again, Paul writing to Timothy, I shared this last week, but this is just one of those foundational scripture verses when we think about God's word that just needs to be in our head because it informs even what you're listening to at this moment. Meaning what we think about scripture, how we think about it in regards to who actually wrote it and its authority will affect the way in which we study it and the way in which we seek to apply it to our lives. And so here's what, again, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So James knows this, and he is instructing his readers in this way. When you hear God's word, be ready to respond to it. Be ready to listen to it, and be ready to apply it to your lives. In a sense, what he's saying is read it and do what it says. Because these are God's very words given to you. He breathed these things out for your benefit, so that you would know him truly, and so that you would also know yourself truly, and that you would also know what he has called you to do and how he's called us to live out our lives as we seek to glorify him. But he's saying, don't be deceived. Don't be hearers only. Now, A.W. Tozer says it like this. He says, unused truth becomes as useless as unused muscle. And we all know what that's like, at least if you're older and you're out of high school and you stop running around and you stop doing things. An example would be a number of guys played Ultimate Frisbee last Sunday, right? Okay, and there were some guys there who used to play Ultimate Frisbee all the time. They'd go out there and they'd light that thing up. They may or may not be a battalion. You know, for the older generation of folks here, you know what it was like to play with them. It's like they just didn't quit. And then they could do it the next day and the next day. And that's like a lot of us. But what happens is when you go out and you play and you haven't played in, let's say, I don't know, Jason, how long had it been? Year, okay? It's like when you don't use the ultimate frisbee muscle, guess what happens hours after you're done playing ultimate frisbee? You're sore. And I don't know about you, but if I was doing that and I didn't do that because I just can't anymore, I don't want to. The reality is, like, we understand what A.W. Tozer is talking about when it comes to truth. Unused muscle becomes useless because it's not being used. And so it starts to shrink. And he's saying that in regards to the way in which we approach God's word, because it's meant to be used. It's meant to be applied to our lives. And so husbands in here, we know that we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We're called to lay our lives down. We're called to lead. But if we don't do that, and all we do is know it, well then A.W. Tozer's quote kind of comes into play. It just becomes useless. We know the truth, but we don't do it. In a way, we become hypocrites. And James doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want us to have unused truth. God has given us truth to use it. And the more we use it, what he's going to say is, in a sense, is the stronger you become, or the more faithful and more fruitful we become. And so he's pressing us to be doers of the word. Know the word and do the word. Let us not deceive ourselves. Let us not think because we have one of these or we have it on our phone, or we sit through a Sunday message and we heard a pastor preach a message, or we heard the word being read, that we're just somehow different. See, what James is getting at here is you got to listen to it, and by the grace of God, you got to be doers of it. This leads us to our second point. Number two, we must not forget God's word, but instead work hard at remembering it. Number two, we must not forget God's word, but work hard at remembering it. So James explains to his readers how to be a doer of the word by first illustrating for them what not to do. So verse 23, he writes the following. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So a hearer only is like a man who looks intently into the mirror at his natural face. Now, did anybody look in the mirror today? Nobody? I'm assuming we all looked in the mirror today. Hopped in the car, you probably looked in that rearview mirror, or you got in the bathroom and you were preparing to come to, you looked in the mirror. We come across mirrors a lot. I looked in the mirror today at home. I looked in the mirror in my office, and then even here, because there's just mirrors all over the place, and they're gifts. And so he's using that as an illustration of a man who doesn't do the word, a man who forgets the word, is somebody who is like this person, who they encounter a mirror, and they look intently into it, and they see the reflection coming back at them, and then they walk away, and they forget what they look like. Can anybody relate to that? Anybody forget what they look like? No, you can't. I can. Forgot what I looked like when I looked in the mirror earlier today. You just kind of look, but he's making this illustration of just, it's easy to do. It's not something we should do, but the person who forgets God's word is somebody who looks into it and doesn't remember what they see. And so for James, this mirror is an illustration for us of God's word. So maybe think about it like this. How many of you have ever read your Bible in the morning only to be asked about it at lunchtime and have forgotten what you've read? We all do. It happened this morning. We were gathering together. I think it did. Chuck's going to have to remind me if I'm right or not. But I think it happened this morning. I asked a question of someone. I said, well, what did you read this morning? And it was like, maybe an hour after reading it, and it's just so you're trying to jog your memory. I did read, but I can't remember what I read. And so it's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle to remember it because at times we forget it. It's a common experience where we look into the truth of God's word and we see what he's saying, and we might even have spent time meditating on it only to walk away in 15 minutes, maybe 2 hours later, we forget what book we were in. We forget what chapter we were in. And so there's a real struggle there that I think we can all relate to. But James wants us to not be men and women who forget it. Be men and women who fight hard to remember the truth of what God's word is saying to us. A deceived person will look into the mirror of Scripture and see the truth, yet do nothing with it. He forgets what he's seen. See, God's aware that we are forgetful people. If you just read throughout the Bible, there's just these constant calls to remind people of who God is, to remind people of the truth of what he has spoken. So in Exodus 13, verse 3, we read this. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. And so you just read from Exodus on just God having to remind his people of his deliverance. Leaders being used by God to remind them of who God is and what he has accomplished and what he's called them to do. But it's not just Old Testament. Now we spent time studying Peter. So in 2 Peter, Peter wrote the following in chapter 3. He said, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing following their own sinful desires. And so we are going to be tempted to forget. That's why James is writing this. He's warning us. Don't just be a listener only who forgets. But we see throughout Scripture just this call to remember, a call to remind one another, because we're called by God not just to be hearers only, but to be doers. He's called us to something. Not just to know something, but to be people who know him and live out our lives glorifying him. So it looks like something. Therefore, we got to remember him. Douglas Moo, in his commentary, said, "To remember God, his acts, and his teachings is to contemplate them in such a way that they make a lasting impression on the heart and mind. The person who forgets what he has seen in God's word is one who reads or listens superficially, not imprinting the message on the soul." So we spent time last week just talking about how important it is to read, to be quick to listen, to meditate on, to allow for the truth found in God's word to penetrate our mind and our heart so that it will change our minds and hearts. And now he's saying so that it will affect the way in which we live. See, God has given us truth. Truth. Just think about that for a second. We have truth. Now, this day and age in which we live, people like can't agree on much, can they? So, I don't know, I'm going to bring up the debates again. So the president and former vice president had their debate this week. And right after the debate, what ends up happening? Well, people start talking about it. And then they start asking questions. And all of a sudden, these experts come out for both sides and they share facts. And they tell us who was lying and who was telling the truth. And this is from my limited observation. And I'm very ignorant when it comes to politics, so bear with me here. But I try to check both sides. I like to hear what everybody's saying on both sides of this. And what I'm aware of is that there are a lot of experts out there. But the experts do not agree with one another. And so they fact check one another and they contradict one another. And a guy like me is left wondering, who in the world is telling the truth? I don't know if you can relate to that. But then I have conversations with men like Ricardo Davis this morning. And we talk a little bit about that in regards to the world in which we live in. And where we land and where I think about that stuff is, I'm so grateful for this. Because when these experts disagree with one another and they're trying to say, well, who's telling the truth and what's most important and how should I vote and who should I listen to? And you work through all of that stuff. You can listen to a lot of voices and they can kind of resonate with where you're at depending on who you listen to. But I think what we're getting at here as we get into God's word is this should be primary. Because this is the truth. This is the truth. This is the expert that will judge all of the rest of the experts out there. And I'm not saying that those other things aren't important, but what I'm saying is if this is not what's primarily filling your mind and guiding you in the way in which you live, you will be led astray. You just will be led astray. If there's something else, if Fox News or MSNBC or whoever it is your favorite podcast is guiding you and leading you, and you don't have a life in this thing, you will be led astray. You just will. You'll find yourself wandering off the path into different directions. And the only way to really, in a sense, have a faithful and fruitful Christian life is to have a life in this and allow for this to govern the way you think and the way you live. And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we're not allowing other things to invade that space that God has called to make sure that his word is there and it's leading us. And so we need to be hearers of his word and we need to be doers of his word. And guess what? This takes work. It's a lot easier to put a podcast on and hear what somebody else has to say than it is at times to set apart an hour of our day, open up the Bible, and really wait on the Lord to guide us and lead us. But I think what James would say is listen to this thing and be a doer of this thing. Put the work in. And we're going to learn about work later on as we work our way through James. But we must be doers of the word, men and women who remember it, who meditate deeply on it, pay close attention to it, and put it into practice. So he's just to our final point. Let's see how much time I got. All right. Our final point is this. We must act upon the word by being doers of the word. And so that's a real statement that I've been saying over and over again, because James is very concerned that we're just people who listen and people who do, who benefit from living out the word of God. So in verse 25, he abandons his illustration of what doers of the word don't look like and shoots straight with his readers by describing for them what their lives are to look like. He says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, listen to this, he will be blessed in his doing." See, a doer of the word looks into the word. Now, the verb he uses there to describe this man looking into the word, it's one of a man who's kind of bent over something, having this eager anticipation and expectation to see something, to be affected by something. And so it's this bending over to see more closely. And so that word's used to describe the way Peter was bending over and into the tomb, hoping to see something of Jesus. So in John 20, verse 5, it looks like this. "And stooping to look in, Peter saw linen cloths lying there." And so if you can imagine Peter running to this empty tomb, hoping to find Jesus or see what happened, you can imagine what's going on in his heart, right? He's eager. He's been walked through a ton. His Savior just died, and he's in a tomb, and he's trying to find out, is he alive or is he dead or where is he? Somebody take his body. And so there's this hope, this expectation. And so what James is saying, that type of hope and expectation should be in our hearts when we think about God's word. It's not a casual, "Yeah, I guess I'll read God's word today," and just kind of open it up. And now, granted, there's going to be times like that, but for the majority of the time, what we want to be doing is cultivating this heart for a love in God's word. An expectation to meet with God, to experience Him. This is, in some way, has shaped the way I pray for you on a Sunday morning. I would say I really have begun praying this way, and it's nuanced, probably in the last month or two. And the nuance is this, is that you would come to church on Sunday with this eager expectation to experience God through the preaching of His Word. That you would not just be listeners. Now, I used to pray in a way like this. I used to pray, "Lord, give them ears to hear and hearts to understand," which I think is good. But I think when we encounter God through His Word, there should be this eager expectation to experience Him. You say, "Well, why do you think that?" Because His Word is not like any other word. His Word's breathed out. And when the Holy Spirit attaches itself to His Word being preached and us engaging it, something should be happening in our hearts. It might look like conviction. It might look like excitement to pick up a cross and follow Him. How many of you get excited when you hear that? Like, pick up a cross, deny yourself, and follow Jesus. How many people, like, does that resonate in your heart and you get really excited and you think, yes! See, I also pray that for us as a church, because that's part of God's word and that's something we've been called to lay our lives down, serving one another. I feel like that should excite all of us. When we think about our Savior, God coming to earth, think about that. God came to earth, born as a baby, lived a perfect, holy life, never having sinned, yet was brutally beaten, nailed to a cross, left on that cross to die. And He did that on purpose. He chose that path. He willingly served God and us so that we could be saved. And then He calls us to follow Him, to pick up a cross and follow Him. And so there should be some excitement for that. Because He didn't stay dead. Think about where He is. He died, and on the third day He was raised from the dead. He was exalted. So the call to come follow Him is not just a call to die. It's a call to find life. And we find life in giving up our life, trusting in Him, and following Him. So there should be some excitement when we hear his word, some sense of experiencing him. And I hope you do that. I hope you love God's word. I hope you experience the power of God at work when you read his word and you encounter his word. And I hope there's this sense of anticipation for it. See, we simply cannot live the lives that God has called us to live without his word. See, his word brings this freedom. He talks about it, freedom there. And what he's getting at here is, if you think about it like this, God has created us in his image after his likeness. He knows what's best for us. Right? So if he knows what's best for us and he has breathed out these words to reveal himself to us and to show us how we are to live our lives for him and his glory, so then when we look into this, what we find is that truth again. Again, the world will give you a lot of ideas, but the world doesn't know how we are to live our lives because the world did not create us. God created us. And so what we find in his word is this truth for how we are to live. Does that make sense? And it's freedom. It's freedom in the sense of you don't have to do what the world is teaching you to do. You don't have to do what you feel like you should do. You're called to do what God has created you to do. And there's freedom in doing what God has called us to do. And so we experience that freedom by looking into his word and just seeing this pathway. Well, how am I to be a husband? Well, he says in his word, we love our wife as Christ loved the church. Wife, how am I to be a wife? Well, it talks a lot about being a wife. Kids, what are you supposed to do in relation to your parents? Well, the word tells you what to do. How do we work through mask, no mask? Well, the word teaches us. We got to work through that stuff. How do we live life when we have all these people who hate us, try to hurt us? And I don't just mean out there, I mean in our family sometimes. Little enemies. One of my favorite sections of scripture is Luke chapter 6. Love an enemy. I don't know, I share that all the time. I probably shared it at least a dozen times this week with different people. And the reason I share it is because I think there's a need for us as we look into God's word and experience his word to apply that section of scripture today. Because there's a lot of people, even in this outdoor setting, who don't agree on everything. And at times they can feel like little enemies. And out in the world, there's all these little enemies. And what do? Well, we're doers of the word. And what does the word say in Luke chapter 6? Somebody punches you in one cheek, what do? You turn it. You give them the other. Somebody steals your sweatshirt or your jacket. What do? You give them your undershirt. Somebody needs money. What do? You lend expecting no return. Why? Because we're called to love our enemies. We're called to be merciful as our Heavenly Father has been merciful to us. And so as I think about one thing for us as a church in application to this is in regards to that. Being merciful to one another. Being merciful to the world around us. It's radical. It's radical. But if you look at verse 35 of chapter 6 of Luke, the reason we're called to be merciful and to love an enemy, because it says this, for he is kind to the ungrateful and evil. He, Jesus, is kind to the ungrateful and evil. The ungrateful and evil, that's you and that's me. And he's been kind to us. What do you mean by that? Well, he died on the cross for us. So let us be doers of the word. Let us be kind and merciful to the people who are not like us or even to our little enemies. See, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. And James ends and he says this, that he will be blessed in his doing. That's a promise. That's a promise. We're not going to perfectly be doers of the word. That's why we trust in Jesus and his perfect life. But we've been redeemed by Jesus and we've been filled with his spirit and we experience the grace of God to be hearers and doers, to have a life in his word. And then he gives us this promise. As you do his word, you will be blessed in your doing. My hope is that we would be a blessed church, that your marriage would be blessed as you live out what God has called you to live out. that our relationships with one another would be blessed as we live out what God has called us to live out. There's blessing in the doing. And I would say, what does that look like? I think that looks like faithfulness and fruitfulness. Doesn't mean it's perfect, but there's a faithfulness there and there's a fruitfulness. Doesn't mean we're not going to have to work through things, because we always will. And Scripture teaches us how we work through things. But as we're committed to work through things, what he says is you'll be blessed in your doing. So by the grace of God, may we be blessed in our doing. So church, let me just end with this, kind of walking back to that made up story that was somewhat true and not really true, is just this, ask you this question. How do you interact with this? Do you see this as a gift from God? Do you see this as your heavenly Father speaking directly to you? Let me challenge you. What do you do with it? When was the last time you read it and you did what he called you to do? When was the last message you listened to and you walked away and you just picked one truth to meditate on and apply to your life, one aspect of your life? And I would just say, start there. There's a lot said in this book. Pick one thing. Pick one thing this week, one truth, one command, and by the grace of God, seek to apply it to your life and in a sense, test the Lord to see if you will not be blessed in your doing. See, I trust in a God who's big, powerful, all-loving, who loves to bless his people. So may the Lord bless you as you listen to his word and you do his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that you would be merciful towards us, that you would help us develop a life in your word. Lord, not an occasional life in your word, but one that happens every day, where we listen to your word, we hear your word, we bend over with anticipation into your word, and Lord, we do your word. Help us to be obedient to the things that you've called us to, all the while trusting in our Savior Jesus Christ, and that there's blessing in our obeying you. Lord, may we trust that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.